Did you want to come in, Mary T, and then I'll bring Pat the Cope, and then obviously Frank
Back
Martha.
To the initial point of it about the spending. I just want to make the point that the cost of the cyber attack, it so happens on the HSE that time, was over 100 million, and then 657 million had to be spent on security upgrades. So the reality is that, you know, we're taking our eye off the ball. If we continue to argue around this table the way that we have successfully done over the last 15 years without successful outcomes, then that's the sign of insanity, isn't it? Repeating something and you think the outcome's going to get different. And that's what I hear here today. We've got to change. So what Aintu's trying to do is to put a minister, a junior minister in, to that every minister in government, the contract must state that they are equally accountable for the spending of anything in excess of 1 million in the budget. We have got to make people accountable or we will continue to fail the people of Ireland and the services of Ireland the way we're doing at the moment. In relation to housing, I would say something very, very different. And that is, on the 5th of November, Aintu submitted a parliamentary question for confirmation of the testing of current build materials in this county. And I got the biggest load of waffle from the Minister, Dara O'Brien. And the government ministers here and the representatives from three different parties. There are three different parties, Main Street Party, four, I suppose I represent Patter, not to forget the people that have the most common sense in Aintu. But the reality is, are these government ministers and representatives going to give us confidence that the build material that's building that new People's Hospital over across the road, has that got good block? Because Charlie McCann Logue said at the hustings and INHFA in Glenswilly the last night that the that praised the building of this new unit and all that. But I still can't get advice. The minister's not committing that there is good, solid materials. Minister McCann Logue said that they now recognise that the deleterious material is not what they were using. Who has made the decision to retest all the current built materials? Because the feedback I'm getting is that current built materials are still not safe. They are actually still deleterious material present, and we need to change the whole structure.
I can't really speak to that because I don't know who's supplying them.
Government needs to do an emergency. I know that, but I don't know who's supplying.
I get you. No, notwithstanding that, but to talk of the fact that you believe that they're deleterious or contain deleterious material.
Charlie McConnell confirmed that what they now realise is the cause and effect of what they consider the mica homes, the crumbling homes, the defective blocks is not what they initially thought.
Okay,
so who
Minister.
Has stopped the build till we check what we're building with?
Okay,
this
sorry.
This is a major problem.
I get you. No, not disregarding that. Sorry, I almost elevated someone to the ministerial position. Pat the Coke Gallagher, old habits die hard, I suppose. A lot of people are texting in, right, that you may have not been elected the last time out, but you never retired, in inverted commas. So you're acutely aware of the concerns of people in relation to housing. Are you confident that you, through your party, can start to deliver social housing, affordable housing for the people in your area, who many would argue are sort of, if Donegal's on the hind teat, a lot of people feel that, you know, the Glenties area and the west of the county is on the hind teat of the county, if that makes sense.
Well, of course, I think all of us agree that there is a housing crisis and a rental crisis. So therefore, we must increase the delivery of social and affordable houses right across the county. And before I address that, just make one point. You have a squeezed middle, those whose income is too low for mortgages and too high for social housing. We must focus, and the thresholds have to be changed there to allow for more affordable houses. Now, also, and it has been said that we have more in the construction industry now than we had in the time of the Celtic Tiger. We must make every effort to attract the skills back, because we don't have sufficient skills to build. Now, as far as Donegal is concerned, I do believe that there should be a devolved system, as we had in school buildings many years ago. While everyone went through the department, now there's a devolved system. I believe Donegal should get a budget to build houses, and that should be done in-house here in Donegal, because it galls me when it files have to go up and down Dublin and back, and it takes too much time. I was about in the 1980s when we were building the SI houses. I could count on one hand the number of SI houses that are being built at the moment. These are people building houses on their own land and funded by the local authority. We must concentrate on that. And I agree with Pearson one thing. We have no right to sterilise the land on each side of the N56, right through from Donegal Town, right round the coast. And people could build there, and they're anxious to build. That has to be dealt with. And I would have to say, in fairness to the councillors, all of the councillors, they've made a case to the department and the TII. We must, as whoever is elected, ensure that that does not sit on a desk. It has to be dealt with. And it's just not the M56.
Was this not a Dara O'Brien responsibility? Effectively, does that not end up on his desk? And I presume lots of representations were made to him.
Eventually. And I know how the system works. Dara O'Brien, whoever is the next minister for the environment, will have to recognise the importance of this. And it's just not the N56 where you had a five Donegal councillor. We have the N59 and we have the N's right around the country. So we must work together. All parties work together to try and resolve this. Lest someone might ring in and say, oh, you want to build on the N56, where it is safe to do so.
Okay. My understanding is Dara O'Brien is going to instruct the Donegal County Council to remove that reference from the County Development Plan.
So
my understanding is he's got the recommendation, which he will instruct Donegal County Council to remove that reference to the Donegal County Development Plan, which means that people will not be able to build on the N56. Pat is right, it is a political decision at the end of the day, but Dara O'Brien is not the person who's going to actually support our county and the councillors, because the councillors and the planners are looking for leeway in relation to the N56, where there's intensification, and the understanding is that that is not going to come from the department.
Frank, you're exactly who I was about to come to next.
The N56, I highlighted the N56, you'll see a piece in the Chair Contributions. I think I was the first person to do so. This came in the development plan of 2024 to 2030. Councillors sat around this and adapted this Chapter 8 development plan. So I'm lost here. I hear Pat and Pearson, they're going to come back on it and review it. This was development plan, a public consultation document. Councillors signed off. Sinn Féin councillors signed off on this. Fianna Fáil councillors signed off on this. So we can't have it both ways. Now we're going to get the minister to come back and take this Chapter 8 out of it. If you're signing a document and you're giving the council the approval to sterilise land from Killybegs to Larrikinney, the N56, it's 157.3 kilometres or 98 miles. That's as unacceptable that nobody foresee this. I seen when I read the development plan, I said this is a major problem here. We're going to denigrate the local villages and towns. And actually what we're really going to do as well, and it's not the priority, but it does have effect, people have land that they want to sell for sites on that land. We've devalued the land for them as well. So when I was reading the development plan, I said, who under God's earth would...
Yeah, but the councillors have been united, have they not, in seeking the ability for people to develop
on the
N56?
The horse is already bolted. So, yes, I accept what you're saying is correct now, but the horse is already bolted, so it's no good looking for a lock to lock the stable door. This should have been addressed properly at a council... Sorry, Piers, I didn't interrupt you. So this should be addressed at council level. So we shouldn't have to go hand and foot to Darrell Brain.
One second, quickly.
It's the other way around. The councillors are united in this county. They want flexibility on the N56. They've put it into the county development plan. It's gone up to Dublin. And Dara O'Brien is going to ask them to remove that.
I think it was cross-party support.
So it is. It's the opposite. The county is united on this here. And in fairness, I think everybody, regardless...
Were they late to the party? Because I don't know the ins and outs of it. Frank is suggesting that...
The N56 is an issue that has been around for so long. This is the review of the County Development Plan. This is the time you put it in. And we have, in the past, we have TII, it was National Roads Authority, who objected this. Now there's a new process, which includes the regulator and the minister. And this is a new process. The county is supportive of flexibility on the N56. It is the minister that is going to ask them to withdraw that.
And I'll get Arthur in a second. Pat, the cop, you want to come back
on that one as a follow-through. You can take it now that we're in the throes of a general election and no policy decisions will be taken by ministers at this point, and it'll be the incoming minister and it'll be the responsibility of all of us to prevail upon that minister, whoever he or she may be.
Well, here's a question. Would you intervene on this?
What has been asked here?
To be fair to the government parties as well, you'd be confident a new minister might look at this differently?
Well, we'll if take the, part we'll of the government. Whoever the five TDs are will have to take the opportunity. I live in the my entrance is on the N56. I'm involved in planning for years, and it's not right that I said earlier land should be sterilised. So there'll be no policy decisions taken, and there are normally taken during the course of a general election.
And I can just agree with that.
John McNulty, Arthur, a quick word on this, please, sir.
Yes, but and Gerard, I mean, and I'm about, you know, our council houses are falling apart, right? And the town is dying. And all the businesses are dying. And what's wrong to you is what's wrong to you? We can't get the planning.
Yeah. Yeah, you get that too. All right. Charlie, sorry, if I do that again, I'm going to donate to charity, I swear. Jerry.
How much, Greg? How much? We want to hear how much.
Charity who, Greg? Charity
it's okay,
who?
It's okay. I've been called worse.
Greg. Yeah, but you haven't been called it worse over and over and over again, you see. It's all right.
It's
once.
It's a mental bug. I forgive you. It's okay. Don't think me take myself that seriously.
Jerry, I've got your name circled, underlined, X. Anyway, I'm eating to time
I here. Called you Sean once.
You did?
Are you getting me
okay,
back?
No, I'm not. Okay. I'm not that clever.
You feel better now?
I'm not that clever. Go ahead, Jerry.
The squeeze mill has been mentioned here. And, you know, the people who can't afford the mortgage, can't get the social housing, you know, that's developed under the government in the last 14, 15 years. And it's accelerated in the last few years. And I don't see a tweak here and a tweak there fixing that. You know, I think we need a radical, completely, maybe I've been an independent, I can afford a radical point of view. Need to radically look at our planning process in general. You know, our hands are tied. People can't give their children sites to build on. I spoke to two people in the last year.
Can I just put something to you on that, though, Jerry? Because a few people say that, and the planning system is there and it's clunky and it's delayed, right? Mm. But what that means is that someone can't build overlooking your house, or someone can't build another house that makes a road dangerous. Because we've got developments all over the county, right? And people are saying that should never have been given permission because it's made that corner really, really dangerous, you know.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, when you start fiddling with the planning system, you could speed it up, right? You could reform it. But it's there for a reason, isn't it? And I would presume the majority of people objecting are doing so for the right reasons.
Fair
so
enough.
What are you proposing the Wild West?
No, not the Wild West. There's got to be rules. But, I mean, look, we have two options here. We carry on the way we're going. We were at school on Thursday. You asked a school of 18-year-olds, class 18-year-olds, how many were going to Australia. I think there was 50, 60% of hands went up.
Pretty depressing.
I went to Carindonagh on Friday and spoke to five students studying politics and asked the same question. All five were going, five out of five. But I asked another question. I asked, you know, how many of you want to come back or think come back? And all five nodded. You know, if we don't change our housing policy in this country, we're going to lose them all. So you have two options. All five, Arthur. Yes, and Karen. Look, you can attempt to have a plan to bring them back, or we can absolutely just go on the way we're going and have no house we can afford. The squeeze mill don't get a house. Homeless is rife. And our people are going away to Australia. Our train workers and our young are going to Australia. So I know what you're saying, Greg. It can't be the Wild West, but we have to have a major reform.
Okay.
But builders say we can't build 30,000 associated.
We'll be back with more. We'll have another couple of minutes on this because there are, some would say, aggravating factors that would also cause issue with that. Of course, we're going to have a conversation about a defective concrete. And as much as we squeeze in, I'll come back. And the first person I'm going to come back to is Mary T. Sweeney to make sure everyone gets a fairer crack of the whip. Okay, we're back for our first general election debate here with our guests. We were talking about housing there, and what comes up on the 9 till noon show quite a lot is people who are being chucked out of rental accommodation. It seems to often be younger families, single parents. They're being contacted by their landlord to say someone's coming back, whatever it might be. And in some cases, that property ends up back on the market a few months later at a much higher rent. There's also the issue of fairness in the rental market, because obviously we have a situation now whereby the government is trying to free up some hotels and accommodations or what have you. A lot of Ukrainian families are sort of competing for the limited amount of rental properties are there. Some would say they're advantaged in that a landlord gets 800 tax-free into their pocket, whereby if they were to rent it to someone who's lived here for longer, It costs an awful lot more, so those people are disadvantaged. And of course, we also have, and we'll get on to it, families of defective concrete blocked homes who can't find anywhere to rent. So there is certainly, I think the word crisis could be used in relation to that. So I don't know if you wanted to add on to your other point, Mary T, you'll just pick that one up. But do you recognise that is an issue? And I suppose, again, I'm going to ask the simple question because people want to know what can be done about it.
So I have to revert back slightly just to the previous incident, the previous issue, and that's in relation to the N56 and the planning. And we cannot talk about planning in Donegal without asking why, oh, why, oh, why has the Mulcahy report, which was completed 7-8 years ago, into corruption and planning in Donegal? It is the elephant in the room. And until we get that elephant opened out and talked about, and I guarantee that if I get elected to the Dáil, I will definitely push hard to get that file opened and hold people accountable. If we continue to let people slip through the net, then we are continuing in a failed process. Mm-hmm. That's the reality.
Okay.
Also is the 10T also sterilised, the land along the 10T? And we're talking for 20 years. And we're also talking about numerous reports being done by consecutive agencies coming in that are being paid. Why is the one agency not being used that they have already got the criteria, the details, you know, the spec on what's happening? This is ridiculous, a ridiculous waste of money. Hundreds of thousands that could have built multiple houses.
All right. So to move on then to the question I put to you about housing, about the shortage of housing, the fact that people feel it's unfair, they feel that they can't really speak out for fear of being labelled something they aren't. Has an N2 got a policy that would address some of these issues?
Again, of course I have. And the reality is I had just a young mother on last night that's 4 years on the waiting list, living in the Manor Cunningham greater area, and with a sick child, herself and her child. And she's at 26 points in the scheme, and she's saying social houses been given out all around her. And, you know, many of them are going across the spectrum, some to locals, some to the non-nationals. And she wants to know, you know, why they have surpassed her when they're less time on the list. There's no fairness and accountability in the system. And we need to be honest about that. You know, there should be nobody put before the people in the system that are most deserving of the system, you know, of the house that they need. And for that mother, I will help her elevate her case. She's on 26 points. She needs to get to 30 to be priority. And with a sick child, it's a matter of managing your information that you progress to the council to get those points elevated. In relation to accountability, there has to be management of housing, you know, and these parties sitting around this table have in effect had an open door policy on immigration coming in. So how can you manage a housing policy when you've no concept of how many people you're trying to accommodate? That is madness.
OK, Frank, has this come up for you much out in the canvas, or just people making representations to you? I suppose that the cost of renting, there's no rent pressure zones here. And also to, the market is saturated. Not the market, but the demand. And there's no market there. There's no houses there.
Yeah, supply and demand is a big thing in this county. It has come up. I've met more people that have said, Frank, I'm paying 900, 1,000 a month for accommodation, and come outside and look at the accommodation I'm in. I'm glad for it because it's pay rate make accommodations around, but they're so glad to even get that at 1,000 euros. And they said to heat the house alone, it's costing way out of compared to what it should be costing because of the gaps in the wall. To fix the housing crisis, it's so simple. I mean, we have over 900 on the waiting list. And at a stroke of pen, we could fix it overnight. If the wall was there, we do have the money. Look, it's not a money problem. It's management problem. The whole management structure from the government down, I would look for a review. If anybody that's not providing the service that they're well paid to do, then I would ask them, step aside and put somebody on. Like, Jerry mentioned the late Jerry Robinson. Yeah, yeah. Anybody, like that guy, God rest his soul, came in. And Jerry said, we'll have a look at the hospital and see what's wrong. Yeah. In 3 weeks, Jerry's right, it was fixed in 3 weeks. So what we have here is bureaucrats, and we want this and that. Give them I agree with Pat here, give them the money, give the local authority the money, and the local authority will build the houses. It's as simple as that. Give any council the fund and they will provide the houses for these people. So, but there's one thing I will finish off on this. Great. Money should be allocated on the waiting lists. So I know for Donegal has a waiting list of roughly about 900 on the waiting list. We should be given an allocation to give affordable houses. And what I'm saying is the squeeze middle is getting caught out in this as well. But overall, to finish up, it's structure management problems causing the backlog, nothing else.
Right. Jerry McKeever, do you want to come early on this one and then we'll move around the table then?
The closest thing we can have at the moment to Magic Wand to fix housing problem is, and again, I can be radical, perhaps being an independent, I don't have to stick to party constraints.
But you also don't really necessarily, some would argue, have to stick to reality.
Well, I mean, the reality is the country's emptying out. The systems are dysfunctional at the moment. We need a major reset here, and we need a reboot rather than a change, I think. You know, my idea is that if we spend that $14 billion perhaps on water, electricity, infrastructure, we do a massive shift in our planning permission. I would actually suggest, you know, we could set up service sites all over the country, possibly 200 locations, maybe 7, 8 in Donegal, which would give us 1,600 houses alone in Donegal. Mm. Put in the roads, electric, water, etc., and sell them for $40,000, whatever. And we could actually have retirement villages in the middle of these things for maybe 20, 30 retired people to buy in there at maybe $160,000.
Yep.
We could have social housing in these estates. So that's 1,600 houses alone without the additional people building on their own land.
I just want to drill down to the rental crisis, if that's okay, because I get you, because there's a ton of people listening who they're so desperate. They're literally facing homelessness for Christmas. And I mean this with all respect, a retirement village 30 years down the line, right? There's people living in their cars in this county, and there's people squatting because they've been asked to leave and they have literally nowhere else to go. So I can come back to you on that.
Well, Greg, can I just answer that? Can I answer that, Greg? Because you've asked me.
Yes, yes.
Can I answer that just? You know, I've said it's the closest thing we have to magic wand, but a magic wand, even in a country this size, isn't going to fix like that. A magic wand can fix over a few years. And I would suggest, you know, that, I mean, if we can build these modular houses now, I've looked at two different sorts at the moment, and I've looked at five in general, but two lately. A2 rated modular home coming in about $100,000 for 1,200 square foot. You know, I mean, it's very, very affordable. You can see people in this country having mortgages of maybe 920 quid a month for 20 years, as opposed to double that, as opposed to doing these 35-year mortgages now they're suggesting. You know, we've got to make it affordable. As opposed to paying 1,400 quid a month in rent, you could pay 920 quid a month in a mortgage in a house you've been owning 20 years. We've got to do something major.
Mairtí, I'll come back to you, but we started with you on this one. John McNulty is indicating there, Fine Gael.
Just one observation I've had myself throughout the county, and that on my canvas trail, is that the amount of empty houses that's around the county. There's hundreds.
Can I just come in on that, John? You have a good scheme, your party has a good scheme, but people can't get onto it because they can't afford the upfront costs of it.
Yeah, well, just in relation to that, that scheme is changing as well, because you have it worked, and I've seen it with the Donegal or the Ballyshannon-Killy Beggs Credit Union, where they will bridge you, finance the money now for the $70,000 on the scheme, and they will give you that money up front. Plus, in fairness to Donegal County Council as well, Donegal County Council will have that. If you have all your receipts in place and everything, and within 6 weeks of them, you will have the payment back on that as well, and they've said that themselves. But just in relation to those empty houses, I think in conjunction with Donegal County Council and with every one of us sitting around the table, that when the time comes, we should look at that, all those empty houses, and see how Donegal County Council could proceed to make those houses livable.
Okay, I've been argumentative, but I've done interviews about scheme after scheme. Report your local derelict property.
I think that's where it has to come, but it has to come from the authority itself. It has to come from Donegal County Council authority itself to take the lead on that. And I mean that.
I'll bring everyone in first and then come back to those that have already been in. Piers Doherty, again, just back to the rental side of things, and I really want to speak to those people out there that believe the system is not fair, that they are being disadvantaged, that we're jumping through hoops to do what we most think we should be doing, is looking after people fleeing war and persecution. But at the same time, you know, I'll give one example. Another example, spoke to a parent who can't get a child on a bus to go to school, yet a full 16-seater bus a tender went out to get one direct provision pupil to school. Now, that drives people to have emotions that confuse them. Talk to me generally about that.
It absolutely drives people nuts. I think it allows then other people to exploit on those emotions who have bad views in relation to these issues. But most people are fair, but they want fairness. So, like, the issue that you raised in relation to, you mentioned in terms of the tax-free, the state pays basically the rent. If you rent your house to a Ukrainian family here or a Ukrainian individual, the state will pay for that rent, regardless who that person is. So that one third of Ukrainians are working in this county and elsewhere. That's important. They're playing a valuable role. But the person who could be working next beside them on the factory floor could be looking for rental accommodation. You stop that scheme. Like this isn't something new. We actually proposed this. Last year that this scheme should not be open to new applicants. Why? Because what the state is doing is saying we are going to pay the rent for a Ukrainian family regardless of their income. And we are not doing the same for an individual. So it is completely distorted the market. So what does it mean from a landlord? I've spoke to landlords and I understand, look, if you've got a landlord, you're going to look for the most money you can get. A landlord, the equivalent of this here, it's about €1,600 because they pay no tax. And that's what it means in their pocket, where rents in this county are about €1,100 for new rents. So it is more advantageous for them to rent to the Ukrainian family. Many of the Ukrainian families are also offering an additional support above that. So it is about... My principle here is that we obviously have to support people who are fleeing war and persecution, but it should be fair and nobody should be getting
what
something
should we do
that
also
other individuals
about
shouldn't
those,
be getting.
What should we do for those families that are being contacted by landlords saying, look, we want, you know, maybe the house has got defective concrete, maybe a relation is moving home, you know, what do we do? How do you support those people and then get them in somewhere else they can afford?
So two things that I want to say in relation to the overall private rental market. And like the rental market here is a disaster in terms of the pressure it's putting on individuals, and it's tied up with just this shame that we now have in relation to the disaster that is housing. Rents in Donegal have increased. New rents in Donegal have increased by €5,500 since Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael came to government 4.5 years ago. It is ridiculous where it's going, and it continues to rise every single year. Einstein talked about the definition of his insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, and this is the opportunity for people on Friday. So what does Sinn Féin offer if we lead the next government? First of all, we will ban rent increases for the next 3 years. We will put a month's rent back into renters' pockets through a rent credit, and we will also introduce legislation.
You're going to have to scrap the advantage that a Ukrainian person might have.
Yeah, absolutely. A Ukrainian person should be able to rent that home like anybody else if they want to, but it shouldn't be the state that's paying their money. It's not fair. Like, why should somebody who's non-Ukrainian have to compete with something that they just can't do? So, and we will also introduce a ban on no fault evictions.
Yeah, okay.
Which means if you're paying your rent, if you're doing no harm, then you can't be evicted from your home simply because that the landlord wants to.
Pat the Cope Gallagher.
Yeah, well, I believe that Ukrainians and our own people should have a level playing pitch, and our people should have the opportunity of being housed. And while we have international responsibilities, we did a considerable amount over the years, costing the Irish taxpayer money. And I always said, and had no input into this, that Europe should have made a major contribution, whether substantial funds there, and it should have been done on a pro rata basis. But of course, immigration is not a black and white issue. And I believe that I have Ukrainians beside me in Dunlowen and other parts of West Donegal, and they have integrated very well with the people. But the sad factor is, and maybe I'm deviating, now they've been told you have to move out into other areas. And that is dealing with the Ukrainians as if they were robots. And they're integrated, they have their services there, they're going to school there, they have their GPs, and all of a sudden they're told overnight, up and out. Now, that's wrong of the Department of Integration to be doing that. They must treat those people who have provided the housing in a fair and equitable way. And we must recognise also that the vacant, we can criticise our own county often, but when it comes to vacant and derelict houses, we have the best scheme in place in the country. Where inspections have been carried out, and I think as someone has said, we don't want the registered contractors, it can be done with receipts. Those houses are becoming available. But the problem is, it's not going to be sorted until more funding is provided and that we cut through the red tape and allow the council to build the houses, and they should fast-track planning, could be gotten 8 weeks and 5 weeks for objections. All of that has to be integrated, and we have to...
How do you deliver that if elected, though, you see? Because, again, you know, and respectfully, you're highlighting what we know
already. This is really nonsense, because we're talking around things here and we're not talking about the reality of it. Yeah, and I really mean that, Pat. If you're saying that people are told to up and out, and who's been put into that place?
We don't know.
Been put out for who?
Well, in some cases,
you're nodding.
Well,
yeah.
in it depends. Say, for instance, a premises in Milford, yes. Another premises in Remelton, I think, no.
Well, we need to finish sentences. We need to finish the sentences and say that the Ukrainians now are being sidetracked to bring in IPAS residents because they generate more money again. So that's the reality of it. And we have to be able to have an honest conversation without being called racist. Aintu were the only party that put any plan and strategy in place and put in the parliamentary questions that got all the facts and figures that are here. And if you don't sit around the table and recognise the fact that our rental accommodation crisis is because of mismanagement of this government, bringing in people with false promises, 8 different languages went out around the world to say, come to Ireland, there's an open door for you that you can have your own private front door here. So are you telling me now that the government now is happily pushing the Ukrainians out into the tents and you're going to do a juxtaposition of tents on O'Connell Street or whatever that street is where the IPAS centre is? Listen, I'm just reading on the BBC as we take a break that the Gardaí are going on to buses coming in over the border and taking people off and taking them just as we read here.
Yep,
it's on the BBC here now. I've just seen the start of it. Listen, stop ignoring
is
the
is that not something you'd welcome,
room.
No? Yes, no, Pat, I want to give Pat the Pope Gallagher an opportunity to finish his point.
Can I just finish this? Because we're
very briefly, because you cut across here, but go ahead.
I beg your pardon, but I have to challenge, as you said, this is a debate. We have to allow the people of Donegal to be honest. There's no planning permission for IPAS centres. We have to be responsible about this, and we have to be kind. We could do migration and immigration very, very well before this war happened in Ukraine, and then the European Union directive. Ireland has to have responsibility to its own people first and foremost. Okay. And we have ignored that.
Now, finish your point, Patrick.
Mary T, that I'm referring to are people who are living in excellent accommodation in West Donegal. And they get a letter from the Department of Immigration to tell them, we're moving those on elsewhere in Donegal. Yeah. And they're not taking into consideration the human factor. It's not that they're going into camps.
But Mary T is saying that on occasion, and it is a fact, that Ukrainians are being asked to leave to be replaced by IPAS applicants.
They're not, well, those people would love to hear that, who have invested heavily in providing the facilities that someone else has gone in. As far as they're concerned, that those houses and those homes will be left with them. They have to meet their commitments, they have to meet their repayments. So there should be much more. And the people who are dealing with this in immigration, they're moving on all the time. You cannot lift the phone and get somebody who can deal with this. I think the whole thing is unfair.
But I will just I will come back to you, but Frank hasn't been in yet on this, I don't believe.
The migration situation is there's three types of migration into this country, as we all know. There's the visa, who are very welcome to work here, provide a great service to our country and county. There's the international protection refugees from war zone areas. We have an obligation to take them in. I accept that. Then we have the illegals coming into this country. We have in our statute book enforcement powers that we're not using. We have people coming in here with no documentation, no passports, no. We don't validate how they didn't go on a plane or a boat without documentation. They arrive here with no documentation. We have, as I said, on the statute books, it's in the Immigration Migration Act of 2004, Section 8. It's illegal to land here without any documentation.
But you can land here without documentation, but you don't need documentation to claim asylum.
You're breaking the law here, Greg, with respect. You land here, you break the law. I mean, when you break the law, there's two things should happen. You should get processed and rerouted back to where you came from. Again, it's as simple as that.
Right.
You can't have our laws being. If I broke a law in this county, I surely would be prosecuted. These people are are coming to this country because we have a broken system here.
Okay, so the law you're saying they're breaking is coming here with that documentation, Pierce. Did you want to come back in there?
Yeah, look, the big problem here is how this has been managed, and it has been managed terribly. Like, and look, we live in Donegal, and we know that we've got the highest levels of Ukrainians in the county, we've got the highest levels of international protection, our second highest level, and yet we're one of the most deprived counties in the state. And we're very clear in Sinn Féin that new centres should not be located in relation to communities that are already deprived, communities
but
that
where
are
do
already, they go in more affluent communities.
Where? Like, because is there so, a more affluent
of course
community
there is.
In Donegal?
So what is defined as deprived area is it's already done by the state. It's where our GIS schools are. A third of our schools are actually deprived. Most of Donegal, nearly all of Donegal, is actually classified in that category. This puts pressure not only on housing, which we talked about, that we brought forward the motion to end that unfair scheme, but also puts pressure in terms of services and elsewhere. And there has been multimillionaires made overnight as a result of the government policy in relying on the private provider, which they're paid €82 per person, as opposed to, on average, as opposed to about 29.
A lot of people texting saying you're Sinn Féin are open borders.
Absolutely nonsense. One of the things we have said very clearly is we need to control our own borders. That is very clear. What we need to do is we need to deal with how we are processing individuals. Two thirds, Greg, of people who come here and apply for international protection are not entitled to be here. But the problem is, and that's when we see the first decisions that are made, they are actually rejected. But the problem is it takes 2 years for the final decision to be made. And in those 2 years, we need to provide accommodation, we need to provide services for those individuals. And that means in some cases that people who are fleeing war and persecution, who do need our support, who do need our shelter, are lying in tents in places in Dublin. Okay. So we need to triple the number of people who are processing
people are here
it.
10
and
years
people
going
And people who are refused entry into this or a decision is made, they need to be returned home. Mm. What we have is deportation orders. Deportation orders, when they are signed, need to be followed through on. The reliance on this government on self-deportation needs to end.
But the government says that
there's been a big failure by the government and all parties and the opposition. There's been no opposition. And this is why they've got away with it.
Over and over again. And we brought forward the motions in terms of the Ukrainian protection accommodation. It wasn't even there when we were raising these issues.
Listen, will there ever be a stage that we have a crisis point in our health system that we need to say, okay, we need to regroup and restock here? Because we had a fantastic method of dealing with people. We recognised the world over. For this is the reality. This has taken the right of freedom of people to speak about this honestly and openly.
No, people should absolutely be. But two-thirds of people. The problem
keep,
is
you can't keep people coming in and not have responsibility.
But the problem is that two-thirds of the people, that's about 15,000 people every year, are not entitled to be here. They're not fleeing war and persecution as a result of the rules, and therefore they have to be here.
Can I apologise?
That's the problem. They're taking too long to process.
Apologies for cutting over, Pierce. I do accept that Sinn Féin has now come on board with us.
With powdered bean.
No, I didn't say powdered bean, Mary, with respect. I said, I do accept Sinn Féin had Mary Lou, the leader of the Sinn Féin, welcomed an open border policy.
No, we didn't.
You did,
no,
Pierce.
We did not. I need to call out those lies. No, that is not true. That is not true.
Are you calling me a liar, Pierce?
I'm calling out what you said as a lie. I'm calling what you said as a lie.
It's not a lie, Pierce.
I can produce a manifesto from last year, which is very clear, saying we are not open borders.
He answered that.
That's a factual position.
It's not a factual position.
It is a factual position.
You've changed your position.
No,
that's a factual position. No,
I'll change there.
Okay, well, I don't think we're going to reach agreement on that one. So we're going to take a break and then look, a couple of hours are flying through. We don't have very much longer, but stay right where you are. Now, just to let you know, our panel tomorrow, Charlie McConlogue of Fianna Fáil, Pádraig McLoughlin of Sinn Féin, Charles Ward, 100% Redress, Vincent Bradley, Independent. Nikki Bradley was scheduled to attend, but she's just contacted us to say that Minister Helen McEntee is in the county tomorrow and she's instead going to be canvassing with her, but wishes everyone the best of luck with the debate. Right, defective concrete blocks... This is not, I just want to be very clear here, by the way, this is not the candidate's fault. It's just time has progressed and we have three debates to cover. And this is in no way a reference to the importance of it, because I think we all agree in this room it is one of the top, if not the top, issues in fairness. So my apologies that not as much time is going to be given as it deserves, but that's my fault. Pat the Cope Gallagher. I suppose, do you sign up to the people's document? Do you sort of, are your views or are your views aligned with the government on the approach to dealing with this crisis?
Well, my view is that there has to be 100% redress. I'm aware of the human impact, the nightmare that it has for many families. And in the early stages, many householders weren't able to take advantage of the scheme that was in place, but is improving all the time. But we must ensure that there's 100% redress and that the scheme must be monitored as we go along. And if it has to be changed, then it has to be changed. There will be an increase, of course, based on inflation over the next number of years. So in short, and with the limited time, I favour those who are affected by this plague that is on their homes, that they should get 100% redress.
Is it a red line for you, though, in terms of, you know, if you get elected to Fianna Fáil's red line, we must change this scheme to make sure it is 100% redress?
Well, I'll monitor it as I go along. Redress have a candidate in the county who will represent them if that candidate is elected. But I will work within the parliamentary party, and that's the system, and I'll be working in the best interests of those who have been affected. And I know the human factor is here. And also, can I just say that the banks have to play an important role here. They have to ensure that money is provided to commence the stage, because the government will provide money on a stage basis, but you cannot start it if you don't have the money.
John McNulty, you're quite strong in your remarks in relation to this. Do you believe the current scheme is fit for purpose?
I feel at least it needs a whole review of the scheme, because I mean the pyrotite's the big one there, and when the pyrotite's in the blocks and it's in the phones, the house, the only thing is demolition, and it really has to have to look at that. And you have to be fair to the people of Donegal, and I realise there are other counties as well, but I would look for that there's definitely a junior minister in housing dedicated to this, because this is going to be a national problem.
Just in relation to that, obviously, you know, your party colleague Joe McHugh, it was a red line for him because the government didn't do what the people wanted. He actually stepped out of the party. So it's not a red line for you then. I mean, if you get elected, you're going to go in there and you're not going to take a stronger stance on the man that's not running for election.
Well, I think I will take a very strong stance on it, because I've also spoke to Simon Harris in relation to that, and he has already said that he'll opt for a 6-month review on that.
What I consider that
there is that the overall scheme, how it's worked and what's right and what's wrong with it, and I explained to him
the scheme was designed to be constantly reviewed. That was the way the scheme was designed. Yeah, so he's committing to a review of a scheme that's in constant review.
Yeah, which is going to include, we'd say, the childcare facilities and all the GA facilities and those people that needed those fixed as well. So that's very important. So I look at, and I'm very passionate about that. And I believe if Fine Gael are back in government, that it's important to have a TD in Donegal to represent them.
Pierce Doherty.
Look, you know, I think the people of Donegal are fantastic, and when we have crises and tragedy, they rally around each other, and this election is different from all others, because there's about 7,000 people out there that their homes are crumbling, their mental health is crumbling, in some cases families are failing, and I really plead to people to rally around those individuals wherever you are in Donegal. The stark reality is every party has produced their manifesto. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are not committed to 100% redress end-to-end scheme. That is fact. Okay. Sinn Féin is the only party that can lead the next government that is committed to 100% end-to-end scheme, and
just
we will deliver.
Just in relation
that.
To that, you know, there's going to be people listening in Derry, Tyrone, and perhaps elsewhere in the north who will be in defective homes as well. Your government's, your party's in government there. I know it's a blunt instrument, but I googled Michelle O'Neill's name and Micah, and I googled Michelle O'Neill's name and defective concrete block. I couldn't find a press release or a newspaper article where those two terms featured together. Now, I'm not saying she didn't, don't get me wrong, right? But I mean, what are you doing? If you're not doing anything about it in the north, how can anyone trust you to do anything about it in the south?
Well, first of all, Greg, those issues are acutely aware in terms of the north as well. But let's be clear. We're fighting an election on Friday where people can elect a government. And there's one thing for sure. If you support Fianna Fáil...
But you've never been in government, your history
power. And if you want to have a debate about the northern election, that's fine. But let me make this point. If people are concerned about their families, their neighbours and friends, if you vote Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, it's likely that they will go back into government, and they are not committed to 100% redress. They're not committed to an end-to-end scheme. It is only Sinn Féin that can lead the next government, and we will rebuild those houses 100%
Arthur,
and an end-to-end scheme.
I get you. Arthur,
yes.
Go ahead.
There is
And the best thing you have to tumble the houses and rebuild, right? Because that problem, that problem is bad. It's bad in Greencastle. I've heard a lot of people saying about that.
So would you be in favour of fully demolishing these properties and the state paying for...
Yeah.
Okay.
And you have to rebuild.
And you'd fight for that in the Dáil?
Yes, because...
Okay.
Because it was bad blocks, right? And them blocks, they shouldn't have been used,
yeah.
Greg.
Mm-hmm. I get you. Right, Frank O'Donnell.
Yeah. There's a problem, a serious problem, of the Quantity Surveyors of Ireland have come out and done a report in 2021, and they give the square footage, what like for like houses, what would the cost factor be? So naively, on my part. I wrote off to the housing agency and requested that this list of contractor builders would be supplied to me. So when I go round the doors and meet people that are affected with defective blocks, I would hand them a list, and they would say to me, Frank, we're getting a grant, but it's only a grant that's putting us in debt. But I would say, no, here's the builder contractors who are signed up to the Quantity Surveyors of Ireland, to the housing agency, and this
so list, they can build the house to the square footage cost. That's what you're saying.
On the same square footage cost. Yeah. Naively, on my part, I wrote off three times now to the chairman. I'm not going to mention his name, and I don't personalise politics, but I wrote off to him three times and asked, could I have the list? Before I came up here this morning, I phoned, and they said they'd come back to me.
So you don't have this list.
So this, okay. There are two things. They said, Frank O'Donnell, doesn't matter. He's only a candidate in Donegal, or they don't have the list. I would, in the second part of it, I would say the list doesn't exist, and I think that's deplorable.
Okay. Jerry McKeever.
Did you have to check?
No, I was just seeing. I was seeing who spoke and didn't speak so far. And apologies to John. We're going to just run in just for 5 minutes here.
I'll be quick.
I'm not. Time I speak to you, it feels like I'm rushing you. That's not the intention. Go ahead,
okay,
Jerry.
It's okay. What about those people that can't afford to get in the scheme? I think an elderly couple in the 80s wrote into Highland there last month and said they couldn't afford it. I think they meet people in their cars outside. I spoke to a woman in Convoy who has two houses, and it's not my fault, I'm not a politician yet, but she got angry with me, and I let her get angry because she had to vent it somewhere. She had to get out somewhere. We are the forgotten county. I mean, you know, to take it a wee bit in another direction, we're part of an 8-county group in this west and north of the country, who really 18% of the population up here. We get less than 10% of the infrastructure spend. We are the forgotten county, and Galway's in that group. I would assume Galway gets more than we do per head of population. We are very much, we need politicians that will stand up for Donegal and fight this for us and call things out to a massive degree. I would work with any party that will follow up my housing policy in particular, but I would join a party that would stand very firmly on defective block, possibly.
Okay. That's quite an interesting statement. And Mary T, last but not least.
The most defective thing about the defective block scheme is the scheme itself. And I have to hold every one of the people in Donegal County Council and the government parties to blame, because they have made it so complicated and laborious for people to try and
complete. Is it in AINTU's programme for government, or their alternative budget? Is there any funding in it for...
The fund, I intend to push for the APO funding to be dedicated to identify as... But we have a crisis
AINTU
level.
Never turned up to any of the hearings in there. None of the hearings he's turned up to, and I think it was
we
really disrespectful.
TD.
I know, but he's on the committee.
TD.
He's on the committee,
that is
actually.
The most, that is
but he's
the most,
on the committee, and he didn't even turn up to the committee.
He has just received the accolade for being the hardest working TD.
I know, but do you regret, given the fact he didn't turn up?
It's I have no idea. I would think he did, but I don't know.
He didn't turn
so
up.
So I would think that's unfortunately deflecting the issue to stop me from speaking, but I will continue.
Let you speak, so carry on.
I know you will, Greg. You're very kind to me. But I would say, I've written in on the 5th of November looking for the tests on the building materials historically and currently, and I implore whoever is elected, before people continue to build, and some have built on old foundations, These government ministers are all equally responsible and culpable and identifying that they have been told a long time ago in the Clannery Hotel when the experts came over from all across Europe to say that the material that they're looking at is more than what you're currently testing for. Okay. You are not, you're allowing people to build.
Yes, of course, Pat,
and I have no confidence in the current materials until we see scientific evidence that they are
and
free.
I think we raised a very important question about the hospital that's being built quite close to
completely. Us. In short, no family should be adversely financially impacted by the defective scheme. And I'll continue to prioritise the funding of the scheme, including further reviews as necessary.
Right, OK. As I say, the amount of time we gave that issue is no fault to any of the candidates here. I want to just make that absolutely clear, by the way. I wouldn't say it's my fault because we're going to talk about it extensively over the next couple of days as well. But there was an awful lot to get through, so I don't want you to hold that against anyone in this room. It just was a timing issue here. Frank O'Donnell, Independent, thank you very much for coming in. Arthur Desmond McGuinness, nice to speak to you. Jerry McKeever, appreciate your time as well. Piers Doherty of Sinn Féin, thank you very much indeed. Mary T. Sweeney of Ain't Do, John McNulty of Fine Gael, and Pat the Cope Gallagher. And we'll be back with a whole new panel tomorrow morning just after 10.